This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue last Friday detailed which functions of the USDA will remain available during the lapse of the government funding. There may be a lapse in funding for the federal government, but that will not relieve the USDA of its responsibilities for safeguarding life and property through the critical services we provide, said Secretary Perdue. Our employees work hard every day to benefit our customers and the farmers, ranchers, foresters, and producers who depend on our programs. During a shutdown, we will leverage our existing resources as best we can to continue to provide the top-notch service people expect. Some of those programs that will be continuing are meat, poultry, and processed egg inspections, grain and other commodity inspection, weighing, grading, and IT support services funded by user fees, inspections for imports and exports to prevent introduction and dissemination of pests into and out of the U.S., including inspections from Hawaii and Puerto Rico to the mainland U.S., care for animals, plants, and associated infrastructure to preserve ag research, and to comply with the Wild Horse and Burro Statute. Eligible households will still receive monthly SNAP benefits for the month of January. Most other domestic nutrition assistance programs, such as the Commodity Supplemental Food Program, WIC, and the Food Distribution Program on Indian Reservations, will continue to operate at the state and local level with any funding and commodity resources that remain available. The Conservation Reserve Program, Environmental Quality Incentive Program, and the Easement Program will also still be funded, as well as farm payments that include direct payments, market assistance loans, market facilitation payments, and disaster assistance programs. Those payments will be continued during the first week of the shutdown. In the latest crop news, corn naturally tolerates certain herbicides, detoxifying the chemicals before they can cause harm. It's what allows farmers to spray fields with the class of herbicides known as HPPD inhibitors, which kill weeds such as water hemp and Palmer amaranth, leaving the corn unscathed. But in more and more fields, the method is failing. Water hemp isn't dying. Scientists have studied water hemp's response to two common HPPD-inhibiting herbicides, mesotrione, trade name Castillo, and trimbotrione, trade name Lotus, and found the weed uses the same cellular mechanism as corn to detoxify the chemicals. However, no one has studied water hemp's metabolic response to a third HPPD-inhibiting herbicide, trapramazone, which is trade name Impact or Armazon, which is in a different chemical subclass than mesotrione and trimbotrione, but is just as widely used in corn. A new U of I study identifies the detoxification pathway in two Midwest water hemp populations that play a role in rapidly metabolizing tetramazone. Unfortunately, the finding is not good news for corn growers. Our initial theory was that water hemp would mimic corn as it does the other two HPPD inhibitors, but no, it found a different way, said Dean Rikers, U of I Department of Crop Sciences weed scientist and co-author of Frontiers in Plant Science Study. We don't know why or how, but it has different mechanisms from what corn naturally has. Bottom line is that you can't use any of the three HPPD inhibitors to control this population. The water hemp population Rikers refers to is a field in McLean County. During the past decade, the field of continuous seed corn has been treated with all three HPPD inhibitors, and water hemp was showing resistance to all three. Rikers and his co-authors planted seeds from that population in a greenhouse and sprayed the plants with all three herbicides to assess the degree of damage. Compared with two populations sensitive to the chemicals, the McLean County water hemp plants looked great. The researchers also grew up water hemp plants from a Nebraska field that only had been treated with mesotrione and trimbotrione, despite never having been exposed to trapramazone. The plants appear to be resistant. Chemical companies could use the information to develop new products, but farmers may not have the option to wait. In the meantime, Rikers points to U of I colleagues to work on tank mixing multiple herbicide sites of action or using traditional cultivation as a non-chemical method to limit water hemp resistance. And a Minnesota-based poultry producer is recalling more than 164,000 pounds of raw ground turkey products that may be contaminated with salmonella. The Genio Turkey Store products have markings saying to use or freeze by November the 12th or 13th. The recall includes plain ground turkey and turkey with taco or Italian seasonings. The products were shipped to 17 states in the U.S., including Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Ohio, and Wisconsin in the Midwest. Food safety officials are worried that some contaminated turkey may be in people's freezers. The recalled products have the tag P as in Paul, 579 marked on the lower left corner of the front of the package. The USDA says the recall was part of an investigation into a November salmonella outbreak that involved 216 patients in 38 states. And in other news, the new year ushers in new state laws, including some of particular interest to farmers and agriculture. During the 2018 legislative session, the Illinois Farm Bureau successfully gained a passage of a couple of state legislative priorities. Starting the 1st of January, Illinois farmers gain a new ability to efficiently haul crops on state highways between September 1st and December 31st, without requiring a gubernatorial declaration. The new law allows farmers to apply for a free special permit from the Illinois Department of Transportation. A farmer may apply to IDOT to haul up to 10% more than the gross vehicle weight on a state route, but it will exclude interstate highways. The harvest season permit will allow gross and axle weight overages for a divisible load and the vehicle's weight to exceed its registered or licensed plate weight. Farmers are required to check with local road jurisdictions about the possible need for permits on their roads and may need to seek a permit from each road's jurisdiction. Each jurisdiction can specify the dates for which a permit is valid based on the law designating September 1st through December 1st as the available permit season. Local jurisdictions have the ability to allow or not allow trucks to operate at higher rates on their roads and may waive the requirements to carry a written permit. Also, farmers with vehicles registered for 8,000 pounds or less with specialty plates can now receive a covered farm vehicle, a CFV designation, on the vehicle's registration card. Vehicle owners requesting the CFV designation must pay an additional $10 surcharge to receive the designation. To qualify for the CFV exemption, the vehicle must be driven by a farmer or an employee of a farmer, and can only be used for that farming operation. Those vehicles must be registered with a farm plate and can be driven anywhere in the state or less than 150 miles out of state. If the vehicle weighs more than 26,001 pounds, it cannot be a vehicle driven for hire, and it cannot be a vehicle transporting hazardous materials. Other laws passing January 1st will be that the Illinois Department of Public Health or the local public health inspector is now required to provide paper copies of a dairy farm's inspection report to the dairy farm being inspected at the time of inspection. Previously, the department could provide an electronic notification and copy of the inspection report. Also, municipalities may create urban agricultural zones and offer tax incentives to businesses associated with qualified agricultural products. Municipalities would also be allowed to authorize local utilities to offer wholesale or reduced rates for businesses in urban ag zones. And a new hunting law next year, Illinois hunters may now wear solid blaze pink in addition to blaze orange clothing during firearm and upland game seasons. To catch any of these stories and more, you can go to the website www.wsmiradio.com. Just click on the News and Info tab and find Ag News. You can also catch podcasts of the morning and afternoon farm shows on the website as well. This has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.